Apostle Leon is full of the word. Amen. We heard part one this morning. We're getting ready to hear part two tonight. Hallelujah. And so we want to give him plenty of time. And are you about ready, Apostle? This is Apostle Leon Walters, and he is from the big city of Versailles, Indiana. It's about 5 hours south of here. And we appreciate him, his friendship. We appreciate his oversight. We love Christian International, Bishop Hammond, and the Hammond family. And they are real people who love God and love God's people. And so we so appreciate that anointing that flows into the river of life. It flows out of each one of you. And so at this time, let's give a warm river welcome for Apostle Leon Walters. And would you stand tonight?
Alrighty. Hallelujah. Give a hand to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Woo! Amen. Look at somebody and say, it's all about him. It's all about the King. Glory to God. Amen. So it's exciting to be here tonight. And let me say, this is my first Sunday night meeting this year. Amen. We've been doing good to get a Sunday morning meeting, let go a Sunday night meeting. Hallelujah. And but it's always good to break the word and to review the word, and then to review what do we hear God saying right now. And there's a lot of voices that you can listen to. A lot of people speaking. And in 1979, Bishop Hammond prophesied, and he said that the time is coming when the gift of discernment is going to be the key gift that you're going to have to be so familiar with, because the false is going to look so much like the real that you're going to have to be able to discern true prophets, true apostles, true teachers. And you're going to have to be able to separate, as the church, the body of Christ, you're going to have to be able to separate the true and the false. Amen? And so I pray, amen, that that gift of discernment rest upon the leaders of this house and rest upon the members and the friends of this house. Amen? That we discern the onslaughts of the enemy. Amen? And we overpower the kingdoms of darkness. Amen? So we're going to have kind of a mix here with the time that we have tonight, and just a brief history since the second weekend in March. We've been pretty well based from our central headquarters there in Versailles, Indiana. And we've been doing Facebook Live every week, and we've been doing Zoom meetings. I have been ministering throughout the nations on Zoom. Amen. With leadership, with churches, and ministering by the Spirit, and so we've been very, very, very busy. It's not like, oh wow, we got to wait till we come back. No, we're already back. We're already back. And truth is we never left. Amen. We just changed gears and we switched to another level. Amen. And we're learning new things as the church. We're learning new things as the body of Christ. I think one thing that in my observation is that we have to be very careful that we don't allow a spirit of pride to develop in us, amen, because pride will keep you. I call it a spiritual pride, amen. Spiritual pride can really separate you from the very thing that God is telling you to do. And so we don't want to get real religious. We don't want to get spiritual pride, amen. We want to use wisdom, more wisdom in this season, I believe, is high demand, amen. And then the prayer. Your prayer focus, I believe, is so, so important in this season. I understand that we're doing daily prayer here, is it? In the nights or evenings, amen. And the prayer initiatives, amen, are so important. And I know that I've had prayer teams together and pray in the Holy Spirit. And I've actually said, sometimes when you pray in the Holy Spirit, if you're not careful, it can just sound like same old, same old, and you can get wearied praying in the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit is a gift. Everybody say it's a gift. Yeah. And you literally have to activate that gift. You have to stir that gift. You have to use that gift. And while you're speaking through that gift, begin to hear the Holy Spirit and what is God saying during this time of our prayer. Amen. And so it is so important, intimacy with the Father, our prayer, our relationship with one another. I believe churches were concerned at large and remain concerned about the fall off in fellowship, the fall off in relationship, the fall off in breaking bread together. Amen. I've been very concerned about the fall off and people being able to get them the momentum build back up. I believe at the beginning of this year we had a powerful momentum. Amen. And I believe that we still have a powerful momentum. It's just different. It's just different. Same God, same Lord, amen, same power, same authority, different time, different methods, amen, and ways of ministering the kingdom, amen. So, but I believe, I'm hearing the Lord correctly, that we are right on the edge, amen, of some of the most supernatural breakthroughs that we've ever experienced as the church, amen. And this time it's not going to be revival in the church alone. It's going to be revival in the communities, revival in the cities, amen, revival in government, revival in the economic, amen. And this is about truly taking over, amen. And I want to thank Prophet David for his ministry tonight in the worship, and because the necessity for us to be able to give an expression of worship together as one voice, releasing that synergy in our worship, is so vitally important, because we understand that our worship, our praise, is a weapon of war. And I might want to encourage you, every opportunity that you have to sing, don't let it be a song service. Let it be a time of war, a time of passion, a time of worship, rendering our heart to God. All that we have, amen, give it to God in your worship, because our worship is literally what is clearing the atmosphere. It is what is shifting the heavenlies. All right. And the ministry of the word is preparation for you. And then the ministry of the spirit is to bring transformation in our spheres of influence. Amen. So God is a powerful God. It's an exciting time. But at the same time, it is a challenging time. I'm going to build just a little further on the word that I started with this morning. We was talking about, amen, reset. Everybody say reset. And reset. And we're talking about focus. Everybody say focus. Amen. And part of my word was that you're going to have to be so focused in this season because of distractions, and the enemy will do everything that he can, amen, to try to get you off focus or to get you off track of the very thing that God has purposed for you to do. I was encouraging this morning about falling in love with the Word of God. Amen. There is no greater intimacy with Father than coming right through the Word. He is the Word. Say, He is the Word. Amen. And when you allow the word to begin to be imparted into your heart, don't wait till you hear a message or you got to hear somebody teach. I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit will begin to teach you His word. Amen. I'm reading the Bible through again this year, Dr. Janet, and it's just so much fun. I can hardly wait till the next morning. As a matter of fact, after I read my daily scriptures, I get a view or a peek onto the next day before I get there, because I know something else is coming. Amen. And the Bible is like one continuous story. Amen. And as you read it through, amen, you will begin to catch the full theme, amen, from Genesis to Maps. Amen. And so I know that I'm challenging you to fall in love with the Logos word, that Rhema word of God, that word of life, amen, that bubbles up in your spirit, that God begins to give you a word out of the word, amen, that is like giving you a transfusion. It's like new blood in your veins. Amen. And the Rhema will bring life into your spirit. And then I was challenging, amen, on the prophetic word. And I was thinking while we was driving to meeting tonight, amen, about challenging you with your personal prophetic words. Now, I will prophesy to some tonight. I don't know who yet, but as the Lord shines on you, I'm gonna call your name probably, or I'm gonna at least call you, amen. And then you give your name to Jesus, and we'll go with it. That'll work. Glory to God, amen. But beginning to place a value value on your prophetic words. Don't allow your prophetic word just to be a blessing and an excitement to you. Amen. Begin to pray over that word. Amen. Begin to wage warfare over that word and allow that word, amen, to begin to work in your spirit, to activate your faith, amen, to be a word of demonstration. And then I heard the Lord speak about that fourth level, amen, and that is intimacy with the Father. And when you get into the throne room of the Father, how He wants to communicate with you. Amen. It's one thing when the prophets prophesy and we love hearing that word and that prophetic word. I know I do. Amen. I'm just like you. If I get in the presence of Bishop Hammond, I'm always saying, me, God. I thought about wearing a hat sometimes, see if I can get his attention, but amen. But we're hungry. We're hungry to receive that prophetic word. But getting in the presence of the Father and hearing God speak to you personally, amen, is a whole nother shift in the spirit realm, and knowing that you are truly are sons and daughters of the Most High God. He'll speak to you about your business. He'll speak to you about your family. He'll speak to you about your ministry and about the challenges that are before you. So I was challenging on the four different levels of the Word of God, amen, the Logos, amen, the prophetic word, the Rhema word, and that intimate word with the Father. And then I began to inform about distractions, and that the devil will do everything, amen, to cause distraction. And you're going to have to be so determined, say determined, so determined to keep on track, amen, with what you know as a directive from the Holy Spirit. So when you know God has spoken something to you, then you must stay on track with what God said, because there will be distractions, Brother Jim, that will try to take you in another direction. And the problem is, it can all sound so good and it can all look so good, but you cannot forget what God told you, amen, and stay on track with the word of the Lord. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Let's go there and read that. I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2 for you. Amen. Let me just read this for you. Therefore, whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, that means to discover what is therefore. All right? Therefore, we also, speaking of you and me, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Everybody say every weight. Every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us. The Bible says the devil goes about like a roaring lion, just looking for an opportunity to try to sow a negative seed, or to try to distract you, or to try to get you off the course that God has called you to. And he said, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, sometimes you can forget you're in a race. We really are in a race. Come on, church. Come on. And don't let the things ensnare you. Don't let the attacks of the enemy ensnare you or keep you from running the race that God has called you into in this season. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. How many of you know he knows the end from the beginning? I've discovered myself in prayer times, and as I pray, amen, I'm telling God situations, and then I'm reminded in my spirit, God knows the end from the beginning. He knew tonight would be here. He knew your situation you would be walking through, but greater is Christ that is in you than the circumstance and the things that we walk through in life. Come on now. And we have to stay focused on the Word of God, the will of God, the way of God, and the power of God. So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. How many of you know it did not all look like joy? Come on, this whole season does not look like joy. You go through an operation procedure, it does not look like joy. Come on, but I'm telling you, you can find joy in that process. You can find joy in that race when you begin to look in your spirit. Come on now, and stop focusing on your flesh and start focusing on the spirit. Come on, God will ignite a fire on the inside of you that will empower you. So looking forward was the cross that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the Father. You know, somehow Jesus looked right through the cross. Amen. He looked through all of the pain. He looked through all of the suffering. Amen. And he saw the joy. Look at somebody say, there's joy for you. Come, there's joy for you in this season, but you have to look. We're going to look through the pandemic. Yes, the pandemic is here. And yes, we are dealing with a crisis throughout the nations of the world. But I'm telling you, there is a joy on the other side. And you have to look through the circumstance. That's how you endure. And that's how you run your race. Come on, as seeing Jesus, amen, the Son of God, the manifest power and the manifest presence of God, looking through the circumstance and counting the joy and seeing the joy. Amen. We endure and we press through in this race that God has us in. Amen. Look at somebody say, stay in your race. Amen. So the devil will work continually, you know, to try to cause distractions that would get just enough off track that you would miss the mark. Now, I've been in the building business and construction long enough, amen, to know that if you're off a quarter inch or a half inch on something, you can be off several feet in long distance. Bible says that just the little foxes can spoil the vine. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. A little doubt, you know, can create a big doubt. It just takes a little bit to try to get you off focus, and you're going to have to be alert and on guard. And I'm sending out an alarm. Come on Thursday nights and ministry and the opportunities I have to minister. Be alert and on guard, because the devil goes about like a roaring lion. He's just looking for you to let down your guard. Come on. Some people think the devil sleeps. Come on, spirits don't sleep. But greater is Christ that is in you. Come on. That will give you all that you need to be empowered to wage this war and to work through this season that we're in. I'm going to turn in my Bible to Luke chapter 9. And if you want to turn there in your Bibles, Luke chapter 9. And we're going to share here for just a few minutes. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. We have a key verse in this scripture, but let me just read this scripture to you. And prophetically, I want to release a charge to the hearing ears that are hearing tonight, also into the airwaves of the river and to the leadership of this church. Amen. That you're in a new season, and it's a season of opportunity. And don't pay attention to that cloud of witnesses that try to ensnare you, or that try to cause offenses, or that tries to be a weight about you. Amen. Because God has not forgotten His promise. He's not forgotten, amen, His purpose that He called you into this place for such a time as this. Verse 57. Now it happened. Hallelujah. Things happen. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone speaks to Jesus. And they said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. I done a message recently about maintaining your excitement on your journey. Because you can be very excited when you first get saved. You can be very excited when you just found a home or a church. You can be very excited when you just got a miracle in your body. You can get very excited when you just experienced a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But if you stay there long enough, it's a journey. And then God begins to mature you through that process. Come on now, that you begin to walk by faith and not by sight. And even though things are falling to the right and falling to the left, and even though it looks like hell on earth in a natural sense, come on now, yet God empowers you to be able to see the kingdom through all of that mess. So it's exciting when you first start. And these scriptures here, where's a man that is speaking and says, Lord, I'll follow you to thee. Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. Verse 58. And Jesus speaks to him and he says, Foxes have holes, birds have air, have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Verse 59, he said, then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus is not inconsiderate of death or the loss of a loved one's. I believe the scripture has demonstrated his passion, his weeping. He understands death. He understands the sorrow of death. But we're talking about something different here. We're talking about following Jesus. Say, following Jesus. Come on. And there will be distractions that will try to get you off the course or off the vision that God has called you. I believe apostolically over the last 25 years, if I was to say what is one thing that is a disappointment or a discouragement to Apostle Leon, what is one of the saddest things, you know, that you feel that you can experience? So one of the saddest things that I feel that I experience is to go into a city and see a pastor or to see the saints of God that have fallen by the wayside, that have given up on the dream, the vision, and the call that God has upon their life. So I believe one of the saddest things for me to experience and see is to see a pastor that has sat on the sideline and they have given up the vision and they have stepped out of their ministry because of the peer pressures of ministry, the peer pressures of life, and they have stepped back out of that vision and that call. You say, why is that so disappointing to you? Because I believe that when God calls you, and when God begins to give a vision to you, and God puts a purpose in your heart, and it begins to stir a joy, and there is a birthing on the inside of you. Come on, there's a joy in heaven about the excitement of the living Christ that is in you and the joy that is on the inside of you. And just because of the distractions of the enemy, you begin to step out of that joy that he called you into. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying life is not always easy. Challenges are very, very difficult. And you literally have to stir up joy. You have to activate joy. You have to activate determination. Come on, you have to talk to yourself. I have to say, Apostle Leon, get yourself in line. Sometimes the enemy will try to flood your mind with thoughts, and you have to grab those thoughts and you have to cast them down. Come on, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Pull down every thought, every imagination that exalts itself against the kingdom of God. Pull it down and put it under your feet. Amen. So that we can stand and we can wage this warfare, you know, that God has called us into. So he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury the dead. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow. I'll follow you. But let me first go and bid them all farewell who are at my house. And so you see a lot of family distractions here. It'll be a lot, everything. When God calls you out of darkness into the marvelous light. When God called me in 1978, just real quick, I was a businessman in Denver. Had three businesses. As a matter of fact, I was a very busy man. But when God called me out of that, he gave me an ultimatum. He said, Apostle Leon, you can stay right here and do what you do and die. Or you can get yourself up, get your family, and move your family to another place so I can fulfill my word and will in you. That was kind of a no-brainer. You can stay here and die. Or you can get up and go to another place, and there you're going to find life. Well, naturally, I chose life. And in a period of 6 months, I closed out my businesses, sold businesses, transferred businesses, and all of the things that we had to go through, amen, to make a change. And it was very, very difficult. But I was determined in my heart that I wanted to follow Jesus. I had followed my flesh long enough. I had followed my desires long enough. I had followed my own passions long enough. Come on now. I warred in the natural long enough. But now that call of God is coming unto my life. And the call of God is upon each one of you that are here tonight. He has called you for such a time as this. Let me just say, over this last 42 glorious years, working with Christian International and Bishop Hammond and laboring There has been distraction after distraction after distraction. In 1986, my wife and I went through a very detrimental experience. My wife and I have been married 58 years, coming on 59 years this year. But in 1986, my wife totally lost her memory. I believe she was 46 at that time. And she lost her memory all the way back to 17. I sometimes ask God, God, why didn't you make it like 19? Because we got married when she was 18. Well, no, she goes all the way back to 17 and doesn't even remember a Leon Walters. Doesn't remember getting married. Doesn't remember having children. Doesn't remember all of the things that we had built together. Very, very traumatic. Very challenging. It's still challenging in this day. And it's many, many, many years later. Amen. Of trying to get that connectivity and make up that span of difference of memory that was actually lost. My wife has learned memory. And she has learned so much about the family that it almost sounds like she remembers the family. But the truth is that the memory really is not there. But now what she has learned is there. And that has become real to her and real to us. You see, why are you sharing that? Because we're reading in the scripture here of a call of God that is upon some people. And yet challenges are going to come to try to talk them out of that call, or that is going to try to move them out of that position or out of that place that God has called you into. And you're going to have to allow true grit, amen, to stay the course, amen, and fight the fight that God has called you into. We're talking about focus. I hope as I'm reading these scriptures, you can see the attack of the flesh, amen, beginning to arise when the little foxes spoil the vine and just take a little bit of the vision. God, just a little bit of focus. Let me go tell my family goodbye. Let me have a party and a celebration. I am sold out to you, God, and I'm going to clear everything out. But they had a condition, and it was their condition. Now, it wasn't that the things that they were wanting to do was not important. On the contrary, it is all very important. But see, God is trying to teach them something else. He's trying to say something else to them. And he's trying to talk to them about a level of commitment. And so, our key verse in 62. And he says, but Jesus said to them, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, it doesn't mean that they're not saved. He is speaking about a call. He is speaking about a purpose of God upon their life. And he said, no one answering that call, stepping out into that call, and taking their hand off the plow or looking back is fit for that call or to fulfill that ministry, because this ministry is going to cost you your life. This walk with the King of Kings is going to cost you your dedication. Come on now. And there will be pain. There will be suffering. The Bible does not promise that there will not be suffering. On the contrary, the scripture is very, very accurate and very true that as Jesus was persecuted, so will you have persecution, so will you have setbacks, so will you have setups. Amen. But we are built upon the rock, Jesus Christ, the solid cornerstone. Come on now. He is the rock of your salvation. And regardless of the pandemic, regardless of the COVID, regardless of cancer, regardless of divorcement, regardless of separation, regardless of all of the things that you experience and that you go through in life, amen, he is still the rock, and you can always come back to the rock. It is a sure foundation, and it is always there. Come on now. Don't take your hand off of the plow that God has put into your hand. Come on, stay the course, amen, and minister the kingdom of God that God has called you into for such a time as this. So Jesus summed up the distraction right here in this scripture. We have 40 acres, 50 acres of land there at CI Central. And we cut grass. We're always glad to see this time of year come, brother, because the grass is slowing down a little. You might get a week and a half instead of 5 days. I think I sat on my front porch this year and I've watched the grass grow. If it rains and the sun comes out, you can watch it. There it goes. I begin to look at the tractors and the fuel tanks and I know what this means. Hallelujah. In Indiana, if you don't cut grass every 5 or 6 days, you're in trouble, especially if you have 50 acres of grass to cut. Well, every once in a while, Pastor Tim will let me get on a tractor out there. And I try to set a focus, Brother Jim, to see if I can get a marker so that I can, go straight towards that marker. And I've had numerous times where something jumped out of the grass while I was cutting. Oh my God, what was that? Next thing you know, I forgot which tree it was that I was headed towards. And sometimes in a long row, your cut can look, you got it, Apostle. Your cut can look like this. So don't let me on the tractor too often. But Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom or that ministry of the kingdom or that responsibility that God has delegated and God has given to you. And believe me, there will be every cause in the natural that will try to be a distraction to get you off focus, to cause you to look back. You see, that was one of the main problems with Israel. Is they just could not look ahead and see the potential of the impossible that is before them and the thing that just looks like a dream and for them. And yet there's no way in the natural to fulfill the dream. It has to be because I kept my hand on the plow. It has to be because I kept the vision. It has to be because I kept my heart in alignment with God. It has to be because I was walking in a place of obedience. And as long as I'm walking in that place, I'm going to make the mark for the prize of the high calling in God Christ Jesus. But no looking back. Look at somebody and say, don't look back. Israel continued to look back. Come on, because they looked back, they could never see forward. Your past will keep you from dreaming in your future. And so Jesus is speaking in this discourse and he said, nobody looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, when God calls you into something, even though you desire to follow after the word of the Lord, there will be distractions that will say, hath God said? In my last 42 years of active ministry, I've heard that term over and over and over. Hath God really said? Especially in 2003, when my wife and I stepped out to build a home. When we got moved out of Denver, Colorado, we had just built a $500,000 home on 4 acres of prime property in the mountains in Denver, looking straight out at Mount Evans. Beautiful home, beautiful view. But when I had an encounter with God, I said, God, I don't need another house. I've had several homes and I've built several homes. God, I don't need another house. All I need is a cabin. Remember that old Pentecostal song? Lord, give me just a cabin in the corner of glory land where I can just hear the angels sing and shake Jesus' hand. Y'all heard that song? Yeah. I don't want a corner. It was a time when I wanted a corner and I thought a corner was going to be our portion. I don't want a corner. I want the mansion. I want the kingdom. God, I want all that God is offering to us, all that God is opening up to us, and God is opening so much more up to you. And don't allow the distractions to get your eyes off of that focus, off of that vision, off of that dream. It does not matter what you have gone through or what you have experienced. It has not changed the mind of God. It has only shifted the process. It has only changed the journey. But what does the Bible say? He is the what? Same. And today and tomorrow and forever. He changes not. So the followers of Jesus in these particular scriptures was being interpreted by family situations. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Let the family resolve their own issues. And no one looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. And the call that has been given to you. We are beginning a new decade of responsibility. Encapsulate that. Make that a message. Dr. Janet. I believe we're in a new decade of responsibility coming to the church, the body of Christ. And you're not called just to be bench warmers. You're not called to just be facilitators. You're not called one just to be in a family fellowship. Come on now. Even though we do all of those things, you are called for so much more than that. Wow! Come on, the power of the Holy Ghost in you never retires. It never sets back. The Holy Ghost on the inside of you is always anxious, is always zealous, is always ready, is always full of faith. And he said, just let me be a demonstration through you. Go ahead, crucify the flesh and let God be God and let every man be a liar. Hope I'm not preaching too hard to you. So there's men in the Bible who lost, you might say, their focus by distractions. Let me just mention a few of them to you. Hezekiah is a good one in 2 Kings 18 and 14. Hezekiah, called of God, anointed of God, appointed of God, pleasing to God, to the point that God says, there's never been one like you, Hezekiah, and there will never be one like you after you. God even speaks to Hezekiah and says, you have done so phenomenal. And you have done everything according to my word and according to my commandments. God just builds him up and exalts Hezekiah. But then distractions began. You go home and read these chapters and begin to identify the distraction. The distraction was the Assyrian king. And the Assyrian king had come against Samaria and had come against Israel, but now he is trying to break into the borders of Judah. As I read and studied those scriptures, I could see how that Israel, out of their rebellion, was not walking in the place that God called them walk in. They would do just the opposite of anything that God said to do, and they were so determined to have an idol. Angered, stirred the heart of God, and God releases the Assyrian king to go ahead and apply pressure to Israel. I'm paraphrasing for you. To apply pressure to Israel. Not so that he could destroy them, so that he could wipe out. But listen, trying to get their attention, I mean business. Can I release that as a prophetic word over this house and into this region? God means business. Come on, church. We are in a time of war. We're not on a vacation with a pandemic. This is a war. Come on. And it's a war in the spirit. It's a war in our government. It's a war in our nation. And the church must arise. Come on now. We must pray. We must decree. We must stand. We must be unmovable. Come on now. Always moving in the grace, knowledge, and the word of God. Hezekiah begins to see the destruction that the Assyrian king is bringing against Israel, and now he's breaking into the Judah camp. And I could not find in the scripture where God gave the same authority to the Assyrian king to come against Judah that he had given him to come against Israel. So you might say the Assyrian king was stepping out of the boundaries that God had laid. Can I prophesy to you that God has laid boundaries around you? God has laid boundaries around this ministry. God has laid boundaries around the ministry that he called you to. God has laid boundaries around your business. God has boundaries around you. The devil will try to invade those boundaries. And here was Hezekiah's response to that invasion. As powerful as a man of God as he was, as obedient as he was, and how famous he was with God, this is how he responded. He said, I have done wrong. Total opposite of what God had said. No, Hezekiah, you've done everything right. But in a time of distraction, in a time of pandemic, or in a time of trial of his flesh, of his soul, of all that he is. Come on now. All of a sudden, that heavy witness of that weight that we was reading about there in Hebrews, amen, comes upon him. And he said, I have done wrong. Come on, all of us wish we could have spoke to Hezekiah and said, Hezekiah, get it together. You have done nothing wrong. You're under attack of the enemy. Come on now. We can see it for other people, but unfortunately, we don't always see it for ourselves. We need to identify the attacks of the enemy. Not that we can take the hand off the plow and look back, no, but so that we can persevere, amen, so that we can press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I believe that we're in a season, a time, and a kingdom in the church where the church is going to have to be bold as a lion. You're going to have to know the lion's roar. You're going to have to know your weapons of war. You're going to have to settle into your identity and quit trying to be somebody that you're really not. And just be the man, be the woman of God that God has appointed you to be. First Corinthians chapter 12, Jesus said, I have set each one of you into my body as it has pleased me. Whew. And if we're not careful, we can be distracted just by wanting to be like somebody else or do something that somebody else is doing rather than really seeking the heart of God. God, this is what you called me to do. This is what you called me to be. It doesn't matter if you're in hospitality. It doesn't matter if you're in prayer ministry. It doesn't matter if you're in evangelism. It doesn't matter if you're the teacher, amen, on the website. It doesn't matter if you're the author, the writer, the administrator, the usher, the greeter. It doesn't matter what your position is. Fill your position. And I'm telling you, God will bless you. God will multiply you. God will grow you. God will add to you. Come on now. And He will fulfill His full will and purpose for you. Hezekiah's response, I've done wrong. When in fact he had done nothing wrong. Another man in the Bible was Elijah. We all know Elijah. We've read the stories of Elijah, all the accounts of Elijah, and the miraculous power, the trust that God extended to Elijah. But in 1 Kings 19 and 3, the Bible says that when Elijah saw the spirit of Jezebel, when he saw that, the Bible says that he ran for his life, understanding all of the accounts building up to this particular event. He had just come from slaughtering over 500, 600 prophets of Baal. Beyond my imagination, I've tried to imagine that, Dr. Janet, and I just can't even imagine it. Have you ever tried that? You say, what's so hard? Because I can't even kill a mouse successfully. Here's Elijah slaughtering over 600 prophets of Baal, calling fire from heaven, God responding to his prayer, breaking a drought off the land, and now the rains are beginning to fall, a deluge, the Bible says. Outruns a horse and chariot to get to Jezreel, only to face a spirit of distraction. What are you saying, Apostle? You could have had your glorious moment, your glorious breakthrough, your glorious experience. Come on now. And right around the corner, there's a distraction looking you right in the face. I've preached and I've heard other preach about the Jezebel spirit that confronted Elijah. Listen, Jezebel wasn't even present there. It was a servant of Jezebel. Everybody say secondhand information. Jezebel didn't even confront Elijah, sends a servant to confront Elijah and to give him a message, a second-hand information. And Elijah hears the second-hand information. And the Bible says that he allowed a fear to come into him that caused him to run for his life. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying distractions will try to get you off course of the destiny and the purpose and the call. We're not going to preach that much about Elijah right now, but he went on a journey from that point. And the journey led him all the way into the bottom of a cave. Come on now, of despair, of a blindness, come on now, of a hopelessness. God let him sit there long enough, and then God calls him out of that place to the mouth of the cave. And he said, Elijah, take that mantle from around your eyes that has blocked your vision and put it back around your shoulders. I want you to stand and be the prophet of God that I called you to be. And I hear the Lord speaking to you tonight. And he said, put your mantles back on your shoulders. Get yourself back in your race and begin to fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because this is a season of breakthrough. This is a season of transformation. And we're going to have to wage a good warfare. We're going to have to fight this fight, David. The distractions will be many. Have a man like David in 2 Kings 11 and 2. Bible says that up to this point, David's battles and victories have been phenomenal. Phenomenal. To the point where all of his leaders, they say, David, we think that you should stay here at the palace and you should stay protected and you should rest. Come on now, let us go into the battlefield. Don't endanger yourself. You stay here and you be protected and we'll go into battle. So David finds himself in a Marriott hotel. Come on, and he walks out on the balcony. Okay. He walks out on the balcony and he sees something that he didn't need to see. All of you read the story. He sees Bathsheba, and the Bible says that she's bathing. And according to the scripture, she's very beautiful, very attractive. Matter of fact, she is so attractive that the distraction got David totally off of his course. And now he is trying to call Bathsheba to his apartment. Come on now. And begins to get into an affair. And a distraction got him totally off of course of the ministry and the call. And then David, trying to cover up all of his mess, and orders the death of her husband. Now he's involved with murder. David, the king and the priest. Come on, if David could be set up in a distraction, could lure David. I'm just saying, be alert and on guard. Why? Because the devil goes about like a roaring lion, just looking for an open window to cause a distraction to get you off course of what God has called you to. Look at somebody, say, it's not going to happen. Oh, the distraction will be there. The Bible says, but because we gain knowledge, because we understand the word, because we fully give ourselves to God, because we've committed ourselves to the kingdom of God, amen, we're saying no to the devil. We're saying, get under my feet, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Come on now. My eyes are fixed on the King of Kings and the Lord of glory. Can I just say that's not altogether as easy as it sounds? Because it's a commitment. Everybody say a commitment. You are committed to the kingdom of God. Oh, your flesh will try to burn on the inside of you in different circumstances, but you have to stand and say, greater is Christ that is in me than he that is in the world. And my focus is on the King of Kings and the Lord of glory. Here's Apostle Leon's focus in this season. I had a wake-up call. It wasn't my telephone. It was the Holy Spirit. I had a wake-up call about 2 weeks ago, Dr. Janet. And my wake-up call was that you haven't set your 10-year plan this year. Because see, for the last 30 years, I've been setting a 10-year plan and then trying, Brother Jim, to set a 2-year interval during that 10-year plan to measure the progress and where am I at in process of my 10-year plan. All sounds good, doesn't it? The problem I ran into is that 10 years happened so fast, I couldn't get to my 2-year interval. Everybody say, time goes fast. I wonder, God, why does time go so fast? Because there's more demand on you today than any time of your life. And the enemy will try to get you off course. And so my wake-up call was that I started to set my 10-year plan, and I thought that would take me to 85. And then I found out I had to back up a few years, and I had to set my plan for 8 years. So I said, in 8 years, I'll be 85. God, there is so much to do. There is so much to fulfill. My focus is, God, that nothing will be a distraction to me. Nothing will get me off course. God, there will be no delays, oh God. Lord, whatever it takes to be totally sold out to you in this season. God, it is not about me. It's about you. It's about your kingdom. It's about eternity. And whatever I have to do, God, keep me on focus and keep me on target in this season. The Bible says that you are closer to the kingdom today than you have ever been in your life. So everybody say focus. Don't allow the distractions. We have a man like Joseph in the Bible. Joseph was awesome because Joseph did not allow the distraction to be a setback. He made it to be a setup. Everything that Joseph done, whether it was in the pit, whether it was in the prison, or whatever his situation, Joseph turned it into a positive and a work of the kingdom. Paul the Apostle turned all of his imprisonments into a time of being an author. Kind of building the kingdom. You can cry, baby, so much about the sufferings. And sometimes we have to come back and look at the sufferings of Jesus and say, God, you paid that price for me. This is a small price for Apostle Leon to pay for you. Play your hands on your heart, would you? Father, I just release a fresh charge into their heart and their spirit right now. And Lord, that they will not allow distractions like the young prophet in the Bible. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes. Just shut yourself in with Father for just a moment. The young prophet in the Bible had an assignment in 1 Kings 13, 18 through about verse 24. He had an assignment. His assignment was that he was going to take a message to the king. And he was going to prophesy to the nation. And God gave him instructions. He said, now I'm sending you into the city, but I don't want you to leave the same way that you go in. And I don't want you to eat bread or drink water. And I want you to go out by a different gate. The Bible says that the man of God, can't really discover his name other than man of God, said that the man of God was fulfilled everything that God had sent him and challenged him to do. And he had actually got to the gate of the city and there was a juniper tree there, and so he thought he would just sit for a moment. Amen. And just maybe reminisce before I get fully out of this city about all that God has done. And while he was there, the old prophet came. We can say that's the old nature, or that is the back door, or that is the thing in your past came. And began to speak to him about, come to my house for bread and tea. The man of God said, no, I can't do that. I am called by God. I'm on a journey and I'm almost there. I'm almost finished and I can't go back. And then the spirit of deception comes in. And the old prophet says, listen, I'm older than you. Oh, that makes sense. And I've heard from angels. You're saying you heard from God, but I had a visitation of angels and they had the voice of God and they spoke to me and said, hey, bring him back to your house now for tea and bread. The Bible says that the young prophet was distracted by just the voice of another. I'm telling you, voices can sound so much. Like, this sounds reasonable, this sounds doable, and you're right, I have fulfilled my assignment, and yes, I did do all of that. The only problem was that he had not got through the city yet. And the distraction took him back to the old prophet's house. Bible says he eat bread and drink water. And then the old prophet prophesies to him and says, because you allowed yourself to be distracted. You can only see the anger try to rise up in that young prophet. You're the one that distracted me. The old prophet says, no, you allowed yourself to be distracted. I just presented an opportunity. And you took your hand off the plow. And you looked back. Father, I want to pray for each one right now. I know by the Spirit, Father, that each one is called by you. They wouldn't even be saved. They wouldn't even know you had you not called them. Lord, you have called them, you have purposed them, and you have set them on a journey. And Father, I pray for them and for this church and for this city and for all those that are related to the river and to Christian International and to this ministry. That the distractions of life in the process of all of the setbacks and all of the confusion and all of the destructive forces that are operating around us, God, that their eyes will be set on you and set on your call and your purpose for their life. I rebuke the devourer right now that has tried to rob any of their joy. Paul said he counted it joy to get into this race, to get into this warfare, to battle for the kingdom of God. Jesus counted it joy looking through the cross, the pain and the suffering. Father, anoint their eyes, anoint their heart, anoint their spirit, oh God, that they can look through all of the dilemma. They can look through all of the COVID-19. They can look through all of the oppositions that are confronting them. They can look beyond all the financial barriers and all of the pressures, and they can see the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. God, I ask for that refreshing of your spirit to be upon each one. Lord, that they settled it in their heart and spirit. I'm called, I'm anointed, I'm appointed, and I'm not going to be a sideliner. I'm not going to look back. I even see some family situations. Some of you under pressure in some family dilemmas. I hear God say, stay your course. Keep your eyes on the vision. Keep your eye on the call of God and your family will come into alignment. Run this race that God has you in with no looking back. Father, I pray an anointing upon each one of them, oh God, that will begin to multiply the gift and call that you have upon their life into the lives of other people. Lord, I'm calling in a season of effectiveness. That they're going to be effective in business, effective in ministry, effective in the call, effective in their personal life, effective in their family, and effective in the family of God. Lord, you're calling them to a new place tonight, a new journey. You said, Isaiah 43, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God, this is a new season. You said you're going to do a new thing, God. And Father, I just release that anointing upon them to begin to press for the new things that you want to do to finish this year out. Shod their feet with preparation, oh God, that they can get in this race and that they run this race, oh God, and that they never give up and they never look back and they never turn back. Let me just say how good it has been. Brother David, do you mind coming to the... Is that all right if he comes to the keyboard, Dr. Jan? Yeah. I did that one time and got in trouble. Of course, I was much younger. I asked somebody to do something in church, and the pastor informed me, I don't let anybody do anything in the church unless I appoint them to do that. So I learned something from that. I learned it, so I apologize. I just stepped out by faith and done that. But I know that we're of like heart, faith, and spirit, so I would do nothing to dishonor the pastors of this house whatsoever. I want to pray for you and those that are online with us tonight, that you're coming into the kingdom that you have never experienced before. I try to imagine myself, Miss Valerie, what are these new things that God keeps speaking about? What do they look like? What do they sound like? It's kind of like the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. God challenged them that he was going to do a new thing. There was going to be a visitation upon earth. You know, sometimes God can be very slack on details. Because you can see all these 500 plus or more people, depending on the theological disposition, but there was more than 120. But all these people wondering, why are we going here? What do we do while we're there? What are we looking for? What's it going to sound like? How are we going to know? There didn't seem to be any details about this new move of God that God was getting ready to release upon the earth. It was a visitation of God himself. I believe that God was possibly setting them up, Miss Valerie, to see, can you stir your expectation? Can you begin to expect the thing that I say to be true and the thing that I say to really happen and to come to pass? I hear God speaking to all of you that this is a time of expectation, and I want you to stir up your expectation. The Lord showed me several years ago that that expectation is a weapon of war that devastates the devil. When you begin to expect a miracle and you expect a turnaround, you totally destroy and you disappoint the enemy, and it puts him under your feet. Why? Because I have an expectation that God is God and his word is true, and everything that he said he is able to do, and he's not going to leave me in the place that I am. He is bringing me closer to him. Come on now. I'm included in the end time kingdom of God. And he said, if I will pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In Apostle Leon Walters, in the river, hallelujah, in Elkhart, Indiana, in the state of Indiana, amen, if we will begin to possess the place that God has called us to, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or ascertain. And I'm just going to ask you to lay your hands on your heart. And Father, I pray for each one that is present with us here tonight. Lord, as I just quoted Matthew chapter 6, you said that when we pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in Elkhart, here at the river, in their personal lives, in their homes, in their cities, in their ministry, in their business. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. God, you have a perfect vision of what you see here on earth in heaven. And you said that you're going to bring that portion of heaven to earth. God, we don't know how all this is going to happen. But we believe you. We believe your word. Lord, as I'm praying for these that are standing with me tonight, God, they've been through some of the greatest trials of their life. But I pray tonight that they make a new commitment and they put their hands back on the plow. And they set their eyes like flint and they refuse to look back. God, you are bringing them so far out that the past will have no connection with their future. And you said, Lord, that there is a glory that is yet to come, that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. God, we have a passion here at the river to want to experience and be in that place of your glory. Father, I ask you to heal every heart in this building tonight. If they've lost a loved one, if they've come through a hard trial, a hard mile in their life, that we can cry out like Job, our Redeemer lives. And God, you will redeem joy and life and hope and expectation for each one of them. While I'm praying for you, I see a beautiful picture. The picture is a dream, and you're in the picture. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that when Lucifer was cast out of heaven, that he was very angry because he knew his time was numbered. And he only had a little time left. I believe we're in that little time. And there's a strong attack of Lucifer against the church, the bride of God. Oh, he's not worried about the government. He's not worried about the economy. He's not worried about it. He knows his battle is against the kingdom of God. I pray that distractions will not be able to get anyone off focus, and that they set their eyes, like Joshua said, on the ark of the presence of God. And Joshua said this in Joshua chapter 3. He said, you have not come this way before. Valerie, you can't say, I've been there, done that. No, because it's a brand new day. A brand new way. God, stir an excitement in each one of their hearts right now. Stir a vision in them again, oh God, a determination, a perseverance in each one of them. That they will hear the call, they will respond to the call of God upon their life, and they'll not look back. But we come all the way in for such a time as this. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, give a hand of praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Come on, can we just give a shout in the house? Amen, for this 24th celebration, and that we followed through with it. We've done it. Glory to God. We didn't allow pandemic or anything else to stop us. We're breaking through. Woo, come on, shout it out. I'm breaking through. Come on, online, we're breaking through into a new season and into a new chapter. God bless you guys. We love you. Amen.
We love you too. We want to thank everyone for coming tonight and celebrating with us. And I just wanted to share a word Prophet Terry sent to me during worship. I didn't see it till I sat down. And I wanted to just share it with you to bless you. We're so full and running over. But the Lord says, I'm rejoicing over you tonight. For your joy and worship comes before me as a sweet incense. My song over you is peace and wholeness. For I want you to know my love and my joy that I am experiencing because of you, my bride. So we thank the Lord for his word to us tonight. And at this time, we are going to release you to go. I encourage you, have a blessed evening, a good night's rest. And for the CI ministers or anyone else who's an ordained minister, we do have a meeting tomorrow at 1 o'clock if you would like to come, if you're available. So God bless you. We love you. And goodbye.